I came across an explanation of the game of baseball that may help some of you who are not enthusiasts. Maybe this will help you understand the game. It goes something like this. Are you ready? You have two signs, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's on the side that's in goes out, and when he's out, he comes in. And the next man goes in until he's out. When three men are out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Now, sometimes you get men still in that are not out. When both sides have been in and out nine times, including the not outs, that's the end of the game. Now, I hope that was helpful to you. Now, the reason I read that to you this morning is to ask this question. You ever feel like walking with God or listening to God is about as confusing as that explanation? I think at times we probably have all felt that way. This morning we're going to reflect on an account found in Acts 8 of Philip and his conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch. The thing that makes this account so fascinating is how clearly Philip seems to know what God's will is. And I want to learn from his example today. If you recall, Philip was one of the seven deacons who were selected to minister to the widows and the orphans in Jerusalem. Last week, we referred to him as the faithful heart. After the martyr of Stephen, we find that the church, the persecution broke out against the church. And Philip and many of the other Christians left Jerusalem and went to surrounding areas. Philip went to Samaria, a place that was usually avoided by all the good Jews. He began to preach the gospel and performed a number of miracles. As a result, people believed in Christ, and a revival broke out in Samaria. Now, in that story is where we're going to pick up this morning, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Amen. And the word of the Lord says, chapter 8, verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" The title of this message this morning is Listening and Obeying. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to learn how to listen today. Lord, that somehow we would be attentive to your voice. And Lord, not only be hearers of your word, but then doers. Move into obedience. Lord, we thank you for your word. Teach us from it today. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we read and we find that Philip listened to God. First, we're told that an angel spoke to Philip. That may seem probably unique to us and to our ears, but it happened in the Bible again and again. The angel told Philip to head out toward the desert. Now, this might have come across as a strange command to Philip, because there was a revival going on in Samaria. I mean, if Philip was right in the middle of it. Now, to me, that doesn't seem to be the right time or to move on to some new location. I mean, the work was just beginning in Samaria. Good things were happening. This was an awkward time to make a request. I mean, wouldn't you want to stay where it's happening? But Philip hears from an angel. Now, I don't think I've ever heard from an angel, but I do want you to know I do believe I've heard from God. I believe I've heard from God's word to me through messengers, such as times there's been times that friends have spoken to me, times I've been studying God's word, and through his word, sometimes I hear a small, still voice. I've heard it through the teaching of God's word from different ministers. And most of the times I felt it was a word from the Lord because It cleared up my focus. Or it moved me in a different direction. Or it showed me something I've never, ever seen before. All I know is this, that God wants to speak to us. He wants us to listen. Jesus says this in John chapter 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who, say it with me, listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me, Jesus said. So somehow we need to find a way to listen to the Father. So Philip listened. A key thing to note here is even though it maybe was not what Philip expected, he obeyed anyway. He did what he was told to do. Philip trusted God's wisdom more than his own judgment. As we read the Bible, we find that it's filled with people who obeyed, even when they didn't understand why, or even when it was beyond their wisdom. Remember Noah? What did he do? Okay, Genesis will be next. What did Noah do? He built an ark. He built a boat in the desert. Abraham left his home, his business, his extended family to go to a place that God would show him one day. How about Gideon? Gideon did something I don't know that any of us would have the courage to do. He whittled an army down from 32,000 people because God said, I can win the battle with 300. Moses took on Pharaoh. Moses, one guy, all of Egypt. Because God said, you can do it. Peter heard the voice of the Lord and walked on water. Ananias, who we're going to learn more about next week, he went and visited a persecutor named Saul because God told him to. Each of these people heard what they seemed like. It may have been rather strange to them, a command from God, but they obeyed. So my first question today is, how do we hear from God? I mean, this is probably a real question for most of us today. How do we hear from God? It was once said by a comedian, and I believe this is noteworthy, by Lily Tomlin, said this, why is it that when we talk to God, we're said to be praying, but when God talks to us, we're schizophrenic? As one who is trying to follow God, I'm on this journey with you. So let me share some thoughts with you. First, to hear God's voice, I believe we have to want to hear God's voice. We cannot and we will not hear God's voice unless we want a relationship, a real relationship with Him. We must become serious about our faith in God. You cannot hear from God unless you hunger to hear from God. It's not that God has favorites, but He does have intimates. God doesn't select people out by favorites, but those who draw near to Him, He draws near to them because they want to hear Him. Those who want to be close will be close. Like Samuel, when Eli told him, go back and lay down. And when you hear the voice of again, here's what you need to say. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Second, we have to learn to recognize God's voice. We do this, first of all, by reading the Bible and building a relationship with Him through prayer. As we become more familiar with God's Word, we will be able to recognize the voices that are not from the Lord. It's amazing how the enemy knows how to use what you don't know against us. And those that are listening, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says in John 10, 26 and 27, the Message puts it this way, "You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me." In hearing the voice of God, there's a couple of principles for us to follow. First principle would be this: if the voice or the impression that you feel contradicts the Word of God, it is not from God. Because God is consistent. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He would not ask us to murder, to steal, to lie, to commit adultery, to manipulate other people. He would not ask us to desert our families. That's in God's Word. Second principle, if what you have heard does not bring glory to God, it is not a message from God. The things that we hear from God will bring glory back to Him. For us to hear from God, we must stop focusing also on our will and begin to seek His will. This is what Philip is doing in this story. If he had pursued his own will, he may have argued and stayed in Samaria. But Philip was willing to go where God wanted him to go and do what God wanted him to do. If we're going to receive God's direction for our lives, we will have to stop being absorbed by ourselves and seek the Lord. Now back to the scripture. So Philip was sent to the desert, and Acts 8, 27 and 28 says this. So he started out. What a great place to start. He just started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now, we are told in this passage that the man that Philip is going to meet is an Ethiopian eunuch. In other words, he was from Africa. The man was an important official, we learn. It appears from Scripture that the man was even seeking God. He was reading the Scripture. Acts 8:29 goes on to tell us, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, here's Philip again listening to God. The Spirit told Philip, I want you to go and stay near the chariot. Philip's job was just to go and hang around the chariot. Why? Because Philip was to listen for an opening to share the words of truth. Now there is a deep lesson to be learned here. If you and I want to be effective witnesses for the Lord, we have to spend time near the chariot. That suggests two things. First, we must be around non-believers. Ooh. I thought we were the church. Church hangs out with the church. We can't simply gather in holy huddles and hope to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the world if we're only hanging out with one another. Now, obviously, we're not to follow the ways of non-believers, but we must not hide from the unbeliever. We still need to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we need to contact with people outside the church. Many of us will have to plan for these kind of encounters to happen, like your pastor. Do you know who likes to hang around me? Oh, don't you just see all the sinners and evil people flocking to me each Sunday? In fact, I have this voice, I guess, when I check out at places, they'll go, "Are you a pastor?" I'm like, I don't know what gives it away. Folks, I have to work to make those encounters. In fact, me and my wife have just had a wonderful encounter because of my girl playing volleyball, that we were able to get to meet some people, other people outside the church. In fact, some not really having a church and looking. But we have to work to make those encounters happen. Now, some of you, you get them every day. Say that a little louder. Amen. Yeah, some of you, you live there. And you know what? It's because God put you there. Because He could trust you. Secondly, you need to know this. When we are with people, we need to be attentive for an opportunity to share our walk of faith. Let me give you some ideas, since you're not real creative. If you're on a break, and somebody says or begins to talk to you about a crisis in their life, and they may say something like this, I don't know where to turn for guidance. I don't know where to go for help. This is the moment you've been waiting for. This is your opportunity. Tell the person then about the hope that you found in Christ. Maybe you're at school and you hear somebody say, "No one could love me." Or, "Do you think there's really a God? God has opened up a door, students, for you to share what? The incredible love of God." You may be at a ball game, a baseball game, a football game, some other game, and hear somebody say, "Life is so hectic, nothing makes any sense. My life is falling apart." Because you've been standing near the chariot, your opportunity is at hand. At that moment, you have an opportunity to begin to talk about eternity. You have the opportunity to talk about the God who gives hope and life and strength in the time of crisis. We would not be able to share the gospel with others, though, unless we stay close and pay attention. If you pray for opportunities and you stay close to those in need, I can guarantee you doors will open. And you'll have a chance to share the words of life with others. I wonder, what did it take for Philip to stay near the chariot? I mean, was the chariot moving at a walking pace? Or was it moving more quickly where Philip was having to jog to keep up with it? I wonder, how much effort are you willing to put in remaining near the chariot? It's something we all have to work at, but you have been called to it, just like Philip. The story goes on in Acts 8, verse 30. Here's what happened. Then Philip, here's a key word, ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Now, I love this. Philip says, started where the eunuch was. Instead of assuming that he knew the eunuch's heart, Philip asked a simple question. Do you understand what you are reading? I mean, can you imagine the scene? Instead of charging up to the chariot and saying, hey, did you know you might go to hell? He doesn't do that. Philip travels along the chariot. What you reading? I'm reading from the prophet Isaiah. You understand what the prophet's saying? See, Philip understood that a good witness takes time to find out where a person is and then meets them there and points and walks with them to Jesus. Listen to what Philip did in verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture. Let me pause. So many times we feel like we have to back up. Wait a minute. You know, I got to go back to the Pentateuch. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, I'm a creationist. I believe in creation. And all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit was ready with that passage, we missed the opportunity. Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. Isn't that great? We're told that Philip started with the passage in Isaiah and explained, though, the message of salvation, the good news of Jesus. The simple presentation of the gospel then led the man to believe. He confessed Christ as Savior and Lord and requested baptism. Philip had done his job well. He accomplished his mission to share the truth about Jesus. There may be those in this place this morning, though, who resist sharing the gospel with others, but mainly because you feel like you don't know how to do it. I want to give you a simple tool that's been used by Christians for years. It's called the Romans Road. There's 5 verses from the book of Romans, and it covers the basic points of the gospel. And I'm going to share those with you. You can write them down today. But I talked with the pastors this morning, and we're going to make a card for you, a little business-sized card that will help you, because I want you to be equipped. You can put it in your Bible, but if you don't take your Bible to work, it may not be a good place to put it. Maybe you need to put it in your wallet, but it'll help you. And you can give them to others. We'll design it so that you can just give it and hand it, but I want you to learn. The first one is found in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. First of all, you need to know we all have a problem. And that problem is that we have rebelled against God and His ways. We've all sinned. In fact, let's try that together. Say, we all have sinned. We all have sinned. You have. Yes, you have. And folks, that's where we all have to start. To me, that is probably one of the hardest places for people to understand in coming to know Christ, is that I have sinned. The second passage is found in Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. First of all, you need to know because of your sin, you deserve punishment. But I want you to know you're offered a gift. And the gift is eternal life through Jesus. Then we move on to Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still, what's the word? Christ died for us. God's remedy for our sin is that Christ would serve as our substitute, and he would pay the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for you. And then we move to Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What's necessary for salvation? For those who believe, all you have to do is believe who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and profess him as Lord. Not just another man, but that he is risen from the dead. Amen? And then we move to Romans 10:13, the last scripture. And I like it. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who sincerely comes to God will be accepted by God. See, the simple presentation of the gospel is a great beginning. But you need to arm yourself with these verses so that you can lead people to Christ. But remember, it's not our technique. It's God's grace that makes people new. And listen, we've talked about a lot this morning. Our focus has been around Philip, and it's a great story. God sends Philip out of Samaria to an Ethiopian official. Now, I don't want you to miss the fact here, because there's all kinds of stories in this. But this is also a reminder that God cares about individuals. God took Philip out of a successful situation so that one man could find new life. But I want you to hear this. Who in turn took it back to Ethiopia? History records that Ethiopia is one of the oldest civilizations in the world. In fact, it's in the Old Testament. You'll find it near the beginning that it was set up. But the Ethiopia also is one of the oldest Christian nations in the world. And guess what it started? In 42 A.D., following the story of Acts 8 and Philip. What do you think this guy did with what he heard? When Philip's work was done, we are told in Acts 8, 39 and 40, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. In this scripture, we find it looks as though Philip just disappeared and reappeared in another place. Translated from one place to another. An incredible miracle of God. We see here that Philip, because of his faithfulness to do what he was asked to do, he was willing to serve God wherever it pleased the Lord. Because of his first, I'll just go toward the desert road. But because of that willingness, God then knew he would go wherever he placed him. And God translates him from one place to another. But you know what? He's on his way to Caesarea. But did you catch the part? And he traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I hope that's the way we would want to live our lives. In order to serve God, though, this way, we must become sensitive to the Lord's leadings. We must listen to the people around us. We must learn to take advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives us. Let me ask some questions this morning. Are we, as the people of God, making it a point to cultivate a deeper relationship with God? Are we acquainting ourselves with His character, His word, and His will so that we can recognize His voice? Have you been listening to His voice? Are we listening in the quiet times? Are we hearing it through the voice of a child or a teacher or a friend or maybe even the author of a book? Are we waiting for something spectacular to happen, or are we listening to God through the ordinary things of life? Is there somebody maybe that needs us to stand by him or her? Is there someone we could tell about Jesus? This morning, God wants us to listen and obey. He wants us to listen to the voice of the Spirit and respond with an obedient heart. We need to equip ourselves so that we're ready to lead people to Christ. Let me close with a statement or a piece by Max Lucado. It says this: once there was a man who dared God to speak. Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Steal the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen. So the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea and waited for God to speak. And God heard the man. So God answered. He sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled a storm, not of the sea, but of a soul. And God waited for the man to respond. And he waited, and he waited, and waited. But because the man was looking at the bushes, not hearts, bricks, and not lives, seas, and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and asked, "Have you lost your power?" And God looked at him and said, "Have you lost your hearing?" It really is simple, folks. God speaks through His Word ever so clearly His greatest desire. You want to hear God's desire? Peter writes it for us. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now listen, 2 Corinthians 5:20. If we listened, we'll be obedient. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listening and obeying.